on leaving for short periods of time, the old marble stage, not very long, and try and go up the hill. There's also a lady who does chocolate-covered peanut brittle. Now, even if you don't like peanut brittle, if it's covered in chocolate, it cannot be bad. So I would suggest you find her up there. She's near the back porch in the craft area, so you should go up there. And for those of you who this is your first time, there's also, you'll see in your program, an area called the, their little houses. What's that called? The craft houses? The craft village. The craft village. And some people miss those because they think everything's on this road. But if you go around left up here instead of right, you'll pass the craft village, and there are a lot of people in there doing quilting. I think there's fishnet making. There's a lot of actual crafts being done, and the folk, a lot of the traditional arts being done in the craft village, and you really need to go in there and look. And there's also the craft store, which has some quilts, and I think it may even have a Nancy Morgan still in there. So you need to go by the craft village and visit there and see the crafters. Tomorrow at 10:30, one of my favorite people who's going to be here is Stetson Kennedy. He's a writer. He's going to talk about his life. He was a pioneer in Florida folklore, I think in the 1937, he was one of the first people to be named a folklorist, and it was very funny to me to think, well, what did he have collected? I thought we were collecting stuff about then. But he started collecting Florida folklore in the 1930s. He also infiltrated the Klan in the 1940s and exposed the Klan through the radio station in Georgia, and is credited with breaking the Klan up in Florida, and has worked tirelessly for human rights and diversity. And he will be here tomorrow. He'll be talking about his book. He'll be talking about his life. And he'll be giving autographs, which is a great autograph to have. I think his book is Palmetto Sawgrass. Palmetto? Is that right, Gus? Do you know the name? I think that's right. I think it's Palmetto Sawgrass. So if you have a chance, pick up that book if he doesn't have it here and get him to sign it. I'm just going to read your program to you. Always eat here. That's all I can say. Eat the sweet potato pies if my daughter hasn't eaten all of them already down here. That's her favorite thing. The greens are really good down there. This is my favorite food area because this is traditional. I think of this as North Florida food, which is the only kind. One of our daughters went to New York to get. I can quit now. And now I give to you Walt Michael.
Hi. Good to be here, and I just want to let you know that my dulcimer is expanding by the moment. It's been in Maryland for a while, and I opened it up today, and it said hello to Florida, and it's just going, whoa. So things may get, they may go from one key to another, ever rising through this set. Wasn't that a great song that Mindy sang? Just don't hear that on Fox News. Well, I don't even know what I'm going to do. I'd like to just first sort of tell you a little bit about how I got into this instrument. I know there are some people here today who know about the Fox Hollow Folk Festival. And anyway, it was a wonderful festival, much like this one, but much smaller in New York State. And at the time, I was playing bluegrass music and other stuff, and I heard this hammer dulcimer, and it ruined my life. I heard Bill Spence playing, and this style dulcimer is really more of a New York style than many of the dulcimers you hear now. It's built not for portability, but for sound, and it keeps chiropractors in business. So I'll just start off with some music here and see where it takes us. This first piece is a piece I wrote for the Winter Olympics in 1980. It's called Snowblind. Thank you. off to the races. Thank you. I still don't have the kinks out. I drove here from Maryland yesterday, and it was a rewarding experience. Well, let's see. You probably know this tune, but I like to tell this story. This is the first tune written by Turlough O'Carolan, the great blind harper. And he lived during the Baroque era. I always like to say that musicians who play folk music have always lived in the Baroque era. We're always broke. But anyway, O'Carolan wrote this tune. It's called Shebeg Ishemor, which when translated means the little fairy hill and the big fairy hill, and it's about a war between the fairy folk. I used to play with this very tall fiddler by the name of Tom McCreesh, and we made a pilgrimage to Armagh, where his Aunt Sarah lived in Ireland. And I wanted to find out, my goal in going to Ireland was to find out about the wee people, the little people. I wanted to find out what that was all about. And so one afternoon over tea, I said to Aunt Sarah, I said, Sarah, and I don't mean to be meddling, and you know, don't think me rude here, but I would like to know if you really believe in the leprechauns. And she said, oh no, but they're there anyway. The metaphysics of Ireland, yeah. So anyway, this is Shebeg Ishemor and Planxty Irwin. I'll try to do them justice. Thank you. you. Still stumbling up here. I'd like to play a tune for you now that comes from the Shetland Islands. A little story goes with this. I've been real lucky to connect with people from Scotland over the years. In fact, at the Fox Hollow Festival, I met Scylla Fisher and Artie Trezise, and they said, why don't you come to Scotland? So I did that in 1980, and I keep going back, and now there's a program that I helped start over there called Common Ground on the Hill Scotland. And in any event, I was invited to play at the Shetland Folk Festival. Has anyone here ever been to Shetland, the Shetland Islands? Well, here's how you get there. You fly to the UK, and then somehow you get up to Aberdeen. And I'll tell you how we made it from there. We got to Aberdeen, which is on the northwest coast, or northeast coast. It's an oil town. And we got there in the morning, and they said, you wait here in this bar over here, and have you a few wee drinks and some crack. Now, crack is not what we call it here. Crack is playing music over there. And you have a wee bit of crack with the lads, and we'll be leaving at 6. So we had been traveling for about 36 hours at that point in time, and we arrived at the place, and they said, well, just wait about 10 hours, and then go to the bar, and then we'll leave. So we did, and at 6 o'clock, we started piling onto the ferry boat. Now, the ferry boat takes a 14-hour ferry boat ride through the North Sea. And what happens, well, there was a bar on the ferry boat. And you dare not go down to your berths because you just get sick, you know, the North Sea. So we're in the bar and, you know, everybody's singing and dancing. So finally, I dared to go to sleep. I went to sleep and slept for a couple hours. And there we were in Lerwick, Shetland, the Shetland Islands, 14 hours north of Scotland by sea and closer to Oslo than to Glasgow. And we got off the ferry boat and they took us in this bus and we went to a bar. I said, might we get breakfast somewhere? Oh, that'll be at the next place you'll stop. So there we were in the bar for a couple hours, and then they shuttled us over to this hotel where there was a bar. We did manage to get a little breakfast. They said, now, what you need to do is go back to where you're staying, get some sleep, because tonight you're going to play. So I went back to where I was to stay at this wonderful house, and my host, in the true Shetland tradition, had a wee dram waiting for me. Single malt. I sipped a little bit of it, slept for a couple hours, and then we went back to the hotel, and it was time to go out. And so the Shetland Folk Festival is wonderful. You're centered in one place, and then you go to all the different towns on the islands, and they may be as far as 5 hours away by car. And you get to the community center, and there is a bar and a little bit of food. It was hard. You couldn't find food with a search warrant, but wonderful people, and we just had this great time in Shetland. And one evening, one of the mothers of some of the young kids there said, I want you to see something. And she took me into this side room, and there were like 20 kids playing the fiddle like you've never heard. And in Shetland, 98% of the people play music. It's part of the mainstream culture. And these kids were just amazing, and they're called Shetland's Young Heritage Fiddlers. And we found that the reason the mother was showing me these kids is that she wondered if I could try to help get them to the States to play, because their mentor's dream was to have his kids, his students, come and play for us in the States. And that mentor was Tom Anderson, a great fiddler and teacher who's taught so many wonderful fiddlers, including Allie Bain. And Tom had died about 8 months before we were there. And these were all his wee bairn, his kids. So we did arrange for that to happen. And we did a tour with Shetland's Young Heritage Fiddlers and played the White House and the Philadelphia Folk Festival and the Smithsonian and all these places. And we called it the Dream Tour, Fulfilling Tom's Dream. So, and I'd like to commend Kate and Gus. Where are they? They're right there for doing the work they do at their school. Do you see those kids playing today? Look for the lime green t-shirts. They're doing a great job, and it's up to all of us to keep spreading this so that we're not just a whispered word, but this should be mainstream stuff. Anyway, so this is called Das Locket Light, and it means the light which has gone out. Tom wrote this for his wife. His wife passed away, and he wrote it in her memory. So the light which has gone out, Das Locket Light. Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, just a quick word. Love for you to come up to our festival, Common Ground on the Hill. I have flyers here. It's the first 2 weeks of July. Wonderful workshops in everything you can imagine. And there's a pretty large Florida contingent that's already on the way. Yeah. So anyway, I'll do a tune in deference or in honor of one of the great players from New York State, Paul Van Arsdale, whose grandfather auditioned with the Ford Orchestra. But he wasn't in one place long enough to really hang out and be that. And now from some of the things I've read about Henry Ford, I guess I'm sort of glad he didn't play for them. But if you've seen the recent PBS thing on Henry Ford, it's very interesting. Anyway, Paul Van Arsdale wrote this in memory of his grandfather. This is called The Dulcimer Reel. Thanks. See you around this weekend.